Welcome to the Busy Leaders Podcast, a catalyst for inspired action, a lively and engaging podcast hosted by Quint Studer. In each high-impact segment, Quint chats with the individuals on how they're navigating today's environment. Quint and his guests showcase best practices and how they work in different contexts. You'll often walk away with tactical tools and tips that you can apply to your own role, business, community, and life. I'm Nicole Webb-Bodie, the Chief Impact Officer at Studer Family of Companies. Quint is a well-known healthcare operator, author, coach, and mentor to many. He has dedicated the last 3 decades to creating tools and techniques that make healthcare a better place for physicians to practice medicine, patients to receive care, and employees to work. He has written numerous books, articles, and his work is always based on evidence, research, and tools and techniques. To learn more, visit www.thebusyleaderspodcast.com. Joining the Busy Leaders Podcast is Dr. Swati Mehta, adult hospitalist at Common Spirit Sequoia Hospital in California and executive director of quality and patient experience at Vituity, a physician-owned and led partnership in acute care innovation that is committed to transforming healthcare for the benefit for all. Dr. Mehta shares her tools and best practices for improving patient care and physician burnout. Dr. Mehta started her journey in healthcare leadership about 10 years ago when she was a hospitalist and part of a 20-physician team. While on this team, her medical director unblinded each physician's patient experience scores. Dr. Mehta shares how these scores became the catalyst for her building the best practice for herself and her team to improve patient experience while becoming the only minority leader in her organization. Dr. Mehta set out to develop techniques designed to make and improve patient experience and healing burnout among healthcare workers real and achievable. She shares some of her valuable tools and resources throughout this podcast. To access these tools, please visit thebusyleadershandbook.com/podcast. If you're looking to reinvest in yourself and in your team, this is the episode for you. Now here's your host, Quint Studer and Dr. Swati Mehta.
Well, welcome to the Busy Leader Podcast. Thank you, Nicole, for introducing Dr. Swati Mehta. And I am so excited. I know I say that all the time because I really am all the time. Because, you know, one of the things is I get to pick the guest. So I only pick people that I want to hang out with. And Dr. Mehta is one of those people. I first noticed Dr. Mehta because I'm very curious and I'm always looking for best practices. I'm always looking for people that are taking things and doing actions and tools and techniques that I think are really going to make healthcare better for patients and for the providers. So on social media, I just started reading Dr. Mehta's post, and I one day replied to her and said, I really like what you do. And she replied back, and we started talking, and we've sort of developed a pretty solid relationship now for a while where, you know, I learned from her. She's one of my mentors, I would call it, in many, many things. So Dr. Mehta, and, you know, I might slip because I know you well and call you Swati. You know, it's so neat to have you and tell everyone about you because you're prolific in the amount of work you post and what you publish, and you're always looking. But tell a little bit about how you got into medicine and how you got into leadership.
For sure. Thank you so much, first of all, Quint, for having me and this podcast, and also for having me as part of the Gratitude Symposium. Incredibly honored to be part of that great, great idea. So for everyone in the participants here, my name is Swati Mehta, like Quint said. I am the board certified internist. So I'm a physician who specializes in inpatient care. So when the patients come in the hospital at their sickest with COVID, with heart failure, with pneumonia, etc. So I take pride in taking really good care of them, admitting them to the hospital and taking care of them while they're in the hospital. I have also the privilege of being a kidney specialist, but I really, really enjoy taking care of patients holistically when they come to the hospital. I'm also the director of quality and patient experience for Vituity. So Vituity is a physician-led national company, and my role in Vituity is to input programs and tools and train our physicians, our nurses, our leaders to really take good care of their patients.
Oh, you've accomplished so much, and those of the podcast, they can't see you. They don't know how young you are. But so how did you, one of the things we talked about before we went on the air is, you know, one, being a woman, to be a minority, person of color, How did you, there's some barriers that people face in your role. And how did you get into this, the leadership role that you're currently in?
Absolutely, Quint. My story begins subconsciously. My interest in leadership, taking care of patients and teams, probably started from med school when I took care of patients. I saw the patients, but consciously, my story begins about 10 years back when I was a hospitalist in Oregon, part of a 20 physician team taking care of patients. And one day, our medical director unblinded their patient experience data. We for the first time, we could see who had what scores, how our patients really considering us as individual physicians. And for the entire year that she shared that data, I had the topmost scores. And I was shocked, but I was also validated that I love connecting with patients. I love what I do. And not only was it validating to get the thank you letters from my patients, an elderly lady actually quilted me a beautiful blanket, but also the scores were following and reflecting that. So I was tasked with patient experience. Hey, the whole team needs you. Let's start doing some coaching. Let's figure out what you do super well. And around that time, my medical director had to quit for different reasons, and they elevated me to the role of medical director. I was very scared internally because I was also pregnant at that time. I was 6 months pregnant. I was given this huge task of growing my team. Like I mentioned, like you had just said, Indian background, immigrant on a visa. And when I went to the C-suite meeting, 6 o'clock in the morning with the surgeons, with the C-suite, I was the only person of color sitting there pregnant, and I can only imagine what they were thinking. What am I bringing to the table? And I just had to advocate for my team. I just had to bring everything in front to be able to take good care of my patients and my team. And honestly, by sharing data, by sharing stories from my team, I was able to do that. And I really enjoyed the leadership and the path that I took. And that was about 10 years back. With that, I felt with each passing year, with the immense pride I had with my team, we grew to a 40 plus physician team from 20. So I was able to really grow my team as well. We had the highest Prescani patient experience scores from the top lowest 1 percentile, and that was in a matter of 1 year. And it was a sense of pride, and I felt that this is my calling. So I thoroughly enjoy it.
Well, and I think the neat part about what you've done, because, you know, I've seen physicians or other leaders have their own great results, but can you create results that it's not based on you and your personality? Can you make it so, I guess the word they use is transfer or scale? And you've created tools and techniques, which that's what first attracted me to you when I was reading some of your tools and techniques. And the first one was one you and I've talked about, is the 6H framework. Connect patients and clinical teams. For those of you that haven't heard about the 6H framework that you created, explain what that is for people listening to the podcast.
Right, absolutely. So when I was doing the different behaviors that we were taught about, sitting down, connecting with our patients, and I really felt that there was something inherent to what the patients want from us. Because that's the why. That's where you begin with. What do the patients really want? They're scared. They're anxious. They're in pain. They're worried. They're alone, especially with the visitor policies and COVID. And they're cynical. They're like, will the doctor really care about me, right? Understandably so. So what do they want is where I began the 6H journey. And it was a few things. The 6Hs are, first, hear my story, doc, please. Second, heed to my worries. What's worrying me? Help me navigate this crazy world of healthcare, right? Be honest with me. Be transparent with me what you can do and what you cannot do. The fifth was heal any misunderstandings we have on the spot rather than letting it fester. And last but not the least was like, leave me with hope. Every time you walk out of my room, am I feeling that we are a team? Am I feeling that I'm being taken good care of? So the 6Hs is what I was first thinking about, is this is what our patients want. So let's start from scratch. What do they want? And then develop the behaviors. Then use phrasing and do things and say things to really alleviate that anxiety and pain and suffering that all of our patients feel. So the 6H model is something that I was able to, so it's digestible, it's palatable, you can share with your teams and tell them the why. Hey, we are doing ADIT, we're doing this amazing thing called ADIT. And the reason we're doing ADIT is because of these six H's. So that's kind of where I started with this. And I feel the six H is for human connection with anyone, patients, your teams, your spouse, anyone. You need to do those six H's.
I think the other thing you've done, which I like, because it's so easy to be overwhelmed in healthcare. And when you and I talked about it, it's not like you have to do everything. You know, you can take the 6H methodology and say, okay, you might show three phrases for each one, but they don't have to do all three phrases. They can pick the one that fits them. And I think sometimes knowing, having been someone that creates material myself, sometimes people take it more literal than I meant them to take it. It's meant to put you in the right direction. But I love the 6H methodology. And I think if people followed it, which more and more people are following it since the Gratitude Symposium, we'll, for this podcast, those of you that are listening, so you don't have to pull off the side of the road and write anything down, we'll make sure that we include this in the podcast. So if you want access to the 6H framework, that you'll be able to get it. Because it reminds me of some of the things that I've seen other people create in healthcare. It's not a simple framework, but it's an easy to understand framework, which makes it simple. Because I think sometimes when people say the word simple, they think it's easy. No, you still got to be, you still got to say some things and be uncomfortable and take some risk. But I think it creates consistency. And I know I'm talking too much here, but I think the challenge with most, I think, with patients, particularly when they have different caregivers, is when there's a lack of consistency. How come this doctor does it and this doctor doesn't? Or this nurse, when my youngest son was in critical care medicine years ago, we knew which nurses we liked best. And the nurse we liked best would be the one that would tell you what the schedule was for the day, because then you sort of knew what was going on. So I love the 6H framework brings consistency. So let's talk about burnout, because you're a real team-oriented person. And again, you can't stop yourself from creating things. Tell us about RISE, a tool to address burnout in your team.
Right. No, absolutely. So I think burnout hits home, Quint, because as a practicing clinician myself, I know the last year was the most terrible. It was the biggest wrench anyone could throw in healthcare, right? And I feel that we know studies show 42% of physicians are burned out. Burnout rate in nurses is even higher. Suicide rates are higher. So we know this is a big problem. This is another pandemic we're dealing with. And so for that, I felt that there are things that I could see in my team as a medical director before, that my team was burned out. There was emotional exhaustion. Their cup was empty. How do you even pour it to the patients when I felt they were really overworked? So what I created was what the acronym is RISE. So what RISE is, essentially, just like the phoenix rises from their ashes, our burnt out team, they need to rise from their ashes and take control of certain things. There are certain things like healthcare policy, big pharma, etc., that needs a bigger stage, that needs a bigger conversation. But for our team, for a healthcare team, for our physicians, for our nurses, what can we do? And that's what RISE is. So what R stands for is re-energize yourself, right? Really take care of yourselves. Just like you charge your iPhone, you need to take some time and do what really makes you happy. And what that might not be just yoga, that might not just be sleeping for X amount of hours, maybe it's volunteering. For me, it's really cooking a nice meal for my family because I feel holistic doing that. That gives me some therapy, if you will. So it means different things for different people, but the first R is basically re-energize yourself. I stands for introspect, because we really need to be the change that we want in our healthcare system. As physicians, as nurse leaders, we really want to take a little bit stock of, why did I go into medicine, right? What can I do to improve this crazy situation we are in? So introspection is really key, and you can do it yourself, or you can seek a mentor, or with your team, do collective introspection in terms of retreats, or how do we build a team culture? So introspection is really key to really take stock of how bad the situation is and what we can do to make it better. And S is really critical, like Quint, you and I talked about, is seeking help. S is seeking help yourself, which is mental health. Make sure it's totally anonymous to reach out to your EAP, right? Make sure you have a peer buddy. Reach out to someone who really knows how crazy things have been in your clinical shift that you can really be transparent with. seek help in terms of getting childcare, making sure that you're not really overworked when you get back home from a shift. So seeking help, and also seeking help from your hospital. What do I mean by that? I mean, do we have a good IT system? Do we have a user-friendly EHR? Do we have a virtual scribe in place? Do we have coding help? Do we have other things so that physicians and nurses and healthcare teams can do what they do best, which is bedside taking care of the patients and not being on their computer? So that seeking help is a little bit of a broader term, your own health as well as your team's health. And E is absolutely super important, is express yourself. Express gratitude, which you do so tremendously, Quint, is express thank you to your spouse for taking care of your child so you could be in their busy shift. Express it to the nurse who's really so overworked. And you know, just take some time to say thank you, because I think that really makes you feel better. So I think the RISE mnemonic for me was really helpful to collate what we need to do to take control of our own
wellness. I think wellness. In a simple format, you've given people permission to reinvest in themselves. I use the word replenish quite a bit, to be introspective, get mm-hmm. that self-awareness. I love the S. Because as you and I've talked before we went into this podcast, we just did a study of a big medical group in the Midwest, and the physicians were so reluctant to seek help. And, you know, and I think you said it's okay. That's how we become resilient and stay resilient, is by taking and seeking help. And I just think, once again, I love what you do, because you make it real. You make it so functional. You make it, you know, like you said, and you can enjoy it. And I think you're such a valuable resource, and I love the fact you're being published. And tell us, didn't you just have an article that was published?
Yeah. Thank you so much. I think absolutely having these small tangible tools, which are concrete, and sharing it is so incredibly valuable to me, because I feel I can impact more than the patients I see. I can have an influence on so many other folks who read that article, if you will. So in Society of Hospital Medicine, for example, I've been published for a poem I wrote, as well as all of these 6H models, as well as RISE. And I wanted to actually go back to your first thought also, Quint, when we talked a little bit about consistency, right? How do we deliver? Yes, your own scores could be great, but how do we do that? And for that, I'm going to be also publishing this thing about 3 C's, the 3 C's we got to do to be able to really get patient experience up and running. So one is in the background, what do you do within teams? So for folks who are listening who are in the healthcare, absolutely, you all know collaboration between teams is so critical. What happens in the backstage is so important before you go to the front stage, which is patient facing. The second, so do you do one-on-ones? Do you do lunch and learns? Are you really reaching out to the teams to make sure that we are not in silos? The second C for me is, how do we connect with our patients? That is where 6H comes in. How are we using the phrases? How are we pulling that chair? How are we connecting? How are we doing some small talk before big talk, right? Before the medical stuff, are we connecting with them with the sports jersey they're wearing? Or if they have a tattoo of a veteran, are we really connecting with them? So that's the 6H model. And the third C is, how are we correcting issues? We know things are going to go wrong in healthcare, but can we take ownership and apologize? Can we thank them for waiting? Can we really do that callback and really make sure that they're all right? So it's not just episodic care, that their doctor, their nurse cares about them. So those 3 C's in my mind are how we can really have consistency. If we do those 3 C's together, we will get consistency in patient experience, and scores will certainly follow.
Well, I sit here and I learn so much in all these conversations. So talk about telemedicine, telehealth, because, you know, one of the things, I got a call sometime back during COVID, and they said, Quint, mm-hmm. could you talk to our medical staff on telehealth? Well, you know, I'm a person who'll say, sure. Now, then I have to figure out what I'm going to go tell them. So I started researching telehealth, telemedicine, people that are really specialists in this. And I tell them, hey, I got this from this person. I got this from person. I don't sit here and say I invented it. I just go seek it out and try to put it in teachable components for people. And of course, that's another reason I found you, is I just think you've done so much great work in how to connect with the patients virtually. So why don't you talk a little bit about that? You and I have talked a lot about it when we're not on podcasts, because I think it's so valuable, because one of the things we know is access. You know, it mm-hmm. helps create access, and access to me is vital. Number two, for some people, it just is so much better for them, because like, right. You know, age, my mother's 96. It's not easy for her to get to the doctor and she has a caregiver that can help her. A friend of mine's wife has rheumatoid arthritis. And the first time she went, had a telehealth or telemedicine call, she was very nervous and didn't know if she'd like it. And after it got over, she said, I'll never go to the office again. So not that it's perfect for everyone, but it is for some people. And then they have to have that great experience with it, though. So why don't you talk about REAL and how the tool to connect with patients virtually?
Absolutely. So Quint, as you rightfully mentioned, especially in the pandemic, right, we initially telehealth was, you know, a good to have. Some people had it, some outpatient clinics had it. And with the pandemic now, it was, people could not come to the hospital. There were so many policies in place that, so this was the need. Telehealth was a thing that we needed to pivot to. But what we didn't have is the physicians, the nurse leaders, whoever were doing the telehealth encounter, they weren't trained as to how it's different than in person. Though you can, you know, it's sometimes questionably, it's better. You can connect when you're in real, you can draw that stool up, you can hold the hand, but you can do so much more also when you're doing telehealth. So you're absolutely right, Quinn, that there are many, many who actually enjoy it more because of all the convenience. And we have to meet the patients where they are, right? Which is access, which you talk about. So REAL essentially stands for, again, like I said, digestible tools. R is for get ready, E is to establish the agenda upfront, what you're going to discuss about. A is to use words, use your body language to have an authentic connection. A is for authentic connection. And L is to lay out the next steps and the plan in very simple words. So ready is you have to get yourself ready, to the right posture, make sure you're looking at the camera, all of that stuff, right? But also make sure the patient is ready. Hey, Mr. Smith, I want to really make sure you're hearing me right. Is everything okay? Do you need anything? Do you need anyone else to be a part of this encounter? So maybe, you know, the caregiver is there. Like you just mentioned, the caregiver now has the opportunity to be remotely also dialed in. And then you have to really think about establishing agenda. These are the three things we'll talk about that we want to really take good care of you. So they don't feel that it's a 1 hour long telehealth. Hey, we have 20 minutes together. Let's really talk about what's really on your mind and what's your priority. So really prioritizing what's going to happen is establishing the agenda. And the most important for patient experience, which I think a lot of us don't know about, is how do we do an authentic connection? How do we connect with them virtually? And that is what is, you know, holding a hand in your heart, nodding, not being fidgety, not clicking your pen, if you will, right? And if you are looking away, which you have to look at reports or write a note, tell them that hey, it's I really am taking good care of you. I'm really hearing everything you're saying, Ms. Jones. And if you hear some clicks, I apologize. I'm just writing down everything so I don't forget whatever you're telling me. So that just tells the patient you're paying attention to them, but also looking away from the camera. So there are small nuances to it. And to make sure that, yes, we cannot examine, but this is what we can do. Rather than saying what we cannot do, talk about what you can do. And then obviously the L in REAL is laying out the plan. Make sure the patient knows what they are going to do and what you're going to do. I'm going to take this medicine, doc. I'm going to make sure I talk to my heart doctor and the cardiologist, and you as a doctor can say, these are the two things I'll do. So really make sure there's clarity. It's so important because a lot of our patients, they're new to this telehealth platform, right? They haven't done FaceTime that much, or they just feel a little bit anxious. So you have to decrease anxiety, lay out everything, and connect really well.
You know what I loved about what you just said? When I was preparing to do this, two of the areas that people that said, here's what you do, said to the doctor, make sure you're always looking in the camera. And I went and said, I don't think that's right. Because when I go to my doctor many times looks away. They look into their computer screen. They pull up records. Mm-hmm. And I said, I think you have to look away at times. All you have to do is explain to them, at times I'm going to look away and what I'm going to do. So I actually think some of the early telehealth instructions sort of miss that. So I'm glad when you bring up REAL that you hit all that, because I'm just, again, always a big fan of, I just learn all the time from you. I mean, you know, everybody on this podcast is going to say, you know, I wish you were my doctor. I wish you were my doctor. Or, man, but many physicians are like you. And I'm a huge fan of caregivers, a huge fan of physicians, because you do such tough work.
Thank you. Thank you, Quinn. I can just say that you continue to inspire me. For many who might not know in the podcast or might know, the Hardwiring Excellence book was a game changer for me. It was. The follow-up, fix, focus on things, a small, celebrating the wins, all of that stuff that you said, it was so, so critical. And I still follow it today because I think those was very, very important critical advice. And I think everyone should read that book. And the second for me was the philanthropy that you do, the gratitude that you have, and you use your experience name to actually do so, so much good for everyone. And that's what really inspires me every day, Quinn. So when you say that you're curious and you like my work, I absolutely love your work and I enjoy it. And I'm such a student of yours. And I truly believe that you're a mentor that I never had.
Well, the one thing as we wrap up, you and I will never agree on is who should be thanking who, as you know. So, but thank you. And for those of you, of course, you're all listening to the podcast. I know we have a lot of information on the 6H framework, RISE for burnout, for you and your team, REAL, total, to connect patients virtually. So Nicole Webb-Bodie is going to give you all the information. She's going to tell you where to go to get it. And this isn't the last you've heard of Dr. Swati Menon. If you follow her, she's very active at the Beryl Institute, for example, getting very well published now. But the beauty is you still see in patients. And that's what's really beautiful about what you do. These aren't things you're taking and writing from a classroom. You're actually writing these from your own personal experiences as also a woman of color, a woman with a family. You also understand how vital it is for everyone here to take care of themselves. And I think that's my message to people when you said seek help. I just think sometimes in healthcare, we've taken resilience to the point where think we have to keep going. No, there's times when you have to pause. There's times when you have to stop. There's times when you have to say time out. And you do that in a nice way. You tell people it's okay. So again, one thing you and I will never agree on is who should be thanking who. Or Swati and I have regular phone calls. We call them mentoring phone calls, and we're hopefully mentoring each other on this journey to make healthcare better. So, Dr. Mehta, thank you so much for being on the Busy Leaders podcast.
Thank you so much, Quinn. It was an honor.
Thank you for listening to the Busy Leaders podcast, a catalyst for inspired action, hosted by Quint Studer. Please subscribe, rate us, and write a review. For more information, visit thebusyleadershandbook.com.